The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties, and a lot of those cities, believe it or not, have properties for under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first property out of state in the next 4 months, I encourage you to apply to my out-of-state coaching program. I purchased properties out of state, and it's absolutely changed my life completely. The same is possible for you too. You simply need the right information. That's all it takes. My program will provide you the hands-on support and a step-by-step process to buy that first property within 4 months. So go to outofstatemoney.com to apply today. Again, outofstatemoney.com to apply today. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Hey, are you struggling to manage your real estate business right now? Are you using various spreadsheets and random tools and systems that aren't connected and really aren't helping you at all? If this sounds like you, you need a partner like Baselane. Baselane is the number one banking platform that's built for real estate investors. So whether you have one property, whether you have 100 properties, we all know the job of a landlord is never done. You need a tool where you can effectively manage your business. Baselane's banking platform is built for your real estate business. It's banking, online rent collection, bookkeeping, analytics, and so much more. And it's all in one place. So with Baselane, you don't have to worry about going through these various spreadsheets and tools. You can do it all right here. Also, it's 100% free. So you can take control of your rental property business and your finances and ultimately increase your rental income. We know that's what it's all about. So you can join a group of over 40,000 real estate investors who trust Baselane to manage their rental property with confidence. Opening an account takes just a minute. So go over to baselane.com/Sam right now and sign up for a chance to win a $500 Amazon gift card. So that's baselane.com/Sam. Again, baselane.com/Sam. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue. Before we get into this episode, a few quick announcements. First, if you haven't already, please be sure to leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening to the show. It goes a long way and I would greatly appreciate it. Second, if you have not already, please make sure to download our free resources. We have one that helps you to understand the top 10 down payment assistance programs, and there's also a bonus in there. We also have another one if you're interested in investing out of state, 8 steps to buying your first out-of-state property. And then lastly, which is probably the most exciting one, is how to buy your first or next investment property in 2024. Check the description for all those links and definitely check them out. I'm sure they'll help you as you go forward in your real estate journey. We are back with an amazing guest. We are kicking off guests this year with my guy, Welby Aceli. Not too much I need to say about him. If you have not been living under a rock, you know who Welby is. And one thing we do know is he's going to come with it. He's going to come with the truth. So without further ado, I'm not going to hold you guys up. Let's get into it. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue. If you're on YouTube, make sure you like this video and subscribe to the channel. If you're on any of the audio platforms, make sure you leave a rating and review. We're live in Brooklyn. I'm excited about this episode. Here for the second time, I have Welby Aceli. Welby was actually on episode 88, almost over 2 years ago. So Welby, it's good to meet you in person, bro. How you feeling?
Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for the invite back. I hope the invite back, man. I did something okay the first time.
Oh, that's a fact. Of course.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much, man.
Of course, of course. Man. So it's very rare that I get to talk to somebody who's been in the game for 20 years. You know, a lot of people who are out right now, who are trending right now, they don't really have a track record. They haven't gone through the ups and downs and, you know, they're new to the game, but you've seen multiple cycles. You know, you've seen the crash and you've seen everything, you know, over 100 flips and a bunch of properties. So I'm excited for this conversation, man.
Thank you, man. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to ruffle a couple of feathers, but, you know, it is what it is, you know. So I mean, as I always tell people, I'm here to give you guys the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Yep. So you know, let's talk about it.
Let's get it. Hope y'all ready. Hope y'all ready. So man, the first thing I want to talk about. So of course, like this, probably the last year, we've had really high interest rates, and you know, a lot of people have backed out of the game and felt like it wasn't a good time to buy because of the interest rates. And, you know, there's talks of it going down. It's already going down a little bit. There's talks of it going down further next year. What's your take on it? What's your take on where interest rates have been over the last year and where they might be going?
Well, people are going to think I'm crazy, but I'm a little bit disappointed that interest rates didn't go higher. I was hoping that interest rates hit as high as 10%. And a lot of people, most people, when they hear me say that, they don't understand the idea or the concept of why I said that. And the reason why I was saying I had hoped that interest rates went higher is because the market sustainability is not possible in the manner of how it's going. So, of course, property values are still shooting up. Of course, there's a lot of interest in acquiring properties, but people are just excited because properties are selling, people are making money, but this way that we're going about it is not sustainable. So, of course, we did not go to the 10%. Of course, the feds have decided to start reducing rates, and people are now, the frenzies, there's a pent-up frustration for people that maybe were afraid to acquire properties because the interest rates went up to 7 or even 8%, which statistically is still low. Mm-hmm. Now people are prepared to start acquiring again. For me, my attitude is, who cares about the interest rate? It's not about the interest rate, it's about the deal. Yep. The deal, for the most part, if you ever do your homework or you do your research, if a deal is a win or a loss solely based off of the interest rate, odds are more so than not, it's not a good deal.
Yeah.
So for somebody like myself, I don't focus on interest rates. I focus on the deal, the overall deal. And then the part that the interest rate plays in it is not the primary aspect of the entire deal. Yeah. So for me, I don't care about interest rates.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Something else I read is that most people have, I think, interest rates under like 6% or something like that. But those who locked in those 2% and 3% like a few years ago feel trapped, and they feel like they don't want to buy at like a 6 or 7, whatever.
They don't feel trapped. They don't realize that they are trapped. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They don't realize that they are trapped. And then here's the thing I would really wish people would stop doing. Mm-hmm. Stop taking it personal. I could talk to the camera.
Yeah.
Stop taking it personal. So when I say that the majority of the people that acquired their properties in the last handful of years, 2020, 2021, 2022, with the low 2%, 3%, even 4% interest rate, you are now stuck. I didn't say that you're not stuck and you're unhappy, because you're going to have people are going to comment in this interview saying, I'll be happy with my 2%, 3% interest rate. Good for you. Well, when I normally talk to people, I'm predominantly speaking to people that are saying that they're looking to invest in real estate, not just simply acquire real estate. There's a big difference. If you're looking to buy real estate for you and your family, you gainfully employed through your business or gainfully employed through employment, whatever it is, and you and your spouse decide that you guys are going to put your money together to acquire said real estate, paid whatever it is, and you are okay with maintaining the payments for the lifestyle that it brings for you and your family, buy it. I didn't say that you're right or wrong. What I'm saying to you is, if you're happy, buy it. The people that I'm talking to are the people that are entering this business with intentions of investing in this real estate to grow and build out a portfolio. You agree with me, right?
Yeah.
That's who I'm talking to. So stop taking it personal. So for those people that bought their properties, the vast majority of them that bought their properties in a handful of years at the 2%, the 3% interest rate, the majority of you overpaid. Watch this, everybody. Am I right or wrong?
I mean, price has been at an all-time high, so most likely, yeah.
Okay, so it's not just me.
It's not.
you talk to a seasoned investor, they're going to say the same thing that I'm saying. So here's the thing. You got your 2% interest rate. You overpaid for your property. You're barely already affording the current mortgage at the 2%, 3%, 4% interest rate. Your property value shot up. Bravo. Equity means absolutely nothing if you can't tap it. Do you agree with me?
Yeah.
Equity means absolutely nothing if you can't tap into it. So here's the problem. You got your 2% interest rate, your 3% interest rate, your 4% interest rate. Now the average interest rate is around 7%. Mm-hmm. Your property value shot up 20, 30%. You barely afford the current mortgage at the 2% interest rate. So with Logic, are you going to refinance and tap into that equity?
Of course not.
You are now stuck. Congratulations. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. So stop taking it personal. It's simple math.
Yep.
So now since you're stuck, even with the equity in it, you can't even sell it because if you sold it, you have to buy the next property at the new prices that all the homes are at the higher interest rate that you could barely afford at the 2%, 3%. So what does that mean? You are stuck. Stop taking it personal. So that's why I tell people, stop focusing on the interest rate, focus on the deal. If it happens to be that the interest rate is at a lower interest rate and you bought a great opportunity and then it's cash flowing for you or you was able to flip it and cash out and make a whole bunch of money, who's better than you? Yeah. Let's make it even better. The interest rates are at a 7%, 8%. Imagine you bought yourself an amazing deal at a 7 or an 8%. We could talk about numbers.
Mm-hmm.
At a 7 or 8%, you're even better than the person at the 2 or 3%. Why? You got options.
Yep.
You got options. So when you're looking to invest, you want to be able to have as many options as possible so that when it's time to pivot, like what we're doing now, you have the ability to do so.
Yep.
So that's all I'm here to tell the people, man. I'm here to share with the people because the majority of the people ain't going to tell you this. They're not going to tell you this. I wish that when I first started out in 2023, 2024, I had somebody school me to the game. Yep. I was just excited I got to the table. I was excited I was able to put my name on a deed and said that I own this property.
Yeah.
Only to realize that I bought me a horrendous, horrendous deal.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to avoid our people, especially people that look like us, minimizing them going through that too.
Definitely. No, I love that. I love that. What do you think is going to happen in the market as the rates go down? What do you think is
going
to be?
With the rates going down, prices are going to shoot up higher. People that stood on the sideline, for whatever the reason is, and I'm not even just talking investors, mm-hmm. they're going to all start pushing to start acquiring. So they're going to jump in the market. The market's going to go even crazier.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to be priced out. So this whole time, when people were stacking up their money through illegal activity, do I need to mention it?
We know what it is.
Okay. So everybody, we all know what was going on in 2020, 2021. Everybody was making money. So unless you took that money, leveraged that money in preparation for what's about to happen in 2024 and 2025, you're missing out on the greatest opportunity of your life. So market property values are going to shoot up. That's going to be greater opportunity to make a whole lot of money. People that prep themselves, people that financially set themselves up to be able to spend money are going to be able to capitalize, but then a vast majority of people are going to be on the sidelines.
Yeah,
that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Remember when we first did our first interview in 2021, you said the pain is coming.
Yeah.
Do you think it's here or has it already come or is it still coming?
Oh, no, we ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet, bro. Here's partly why.
Mm-hmm.
Rents went up.
Mm, they did.
The pain is coming, everybody. Rents went up in the last 2 to 3 years, on average, 30% across the country. 40% across the country. Your income didn't increase that fast. You feeling the pressure. Not you, brother. The people.
Yeah.
You feeling the pressure, right? You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. If you thought that it was harder for you to find a house to acquire this year, a year ago, you ain't seen nothing yet. Only the people that are prepared are going to be the one that's going to be able to eat. Stop taking it personal. Everything is about the math. If you are selling your property, regardless what the reason is, and you want top dollar for it, whatever the reason is, and somebody like myself walks through the door and say, yo, I got the cash, no contingencies, No, red tape. Mm-hmm. Who you think they're going to sell the house to?
They're trying to get that money.
Let's go. Let's go. You understand? So, yeah. So you and I was talking before we got on. And we talking about a little bit about my history. Mm-hmm. As you said, I've been in the game 21 years. So I've seen a bunch of different cycles. What the people see of me today, my overnight success, took me 13 years of hell, pain, for you to see what I was able to create the last 7-8 years. So when these cycles that we're talking about, the majority of the people that are entering this business have never experienced it. So this is why it's so difficult for them to accept it. It's so difficult for them to hear it. I said this many a times. If you're in your 30s, you're in your 20s, you do not understand what I'm talking about. Stop taking it personal. How could you understand something painful if you never experienced it, no matter how much somebody verbalizes it to you and describe it to you?
True.
So if you're in your 20s and 30s, you do not understand what I'm talking about. Because the people in that generation have only seen an uptick. That's it. So when you hear the person is saying the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, it's easy for you to say, oh man, he's full of it, man.
Yeah.
They've been saying that for the past how many years? Ain't nothing happened yet. Now they're starting to see the shift now.
Yeah.
The realty aspect of it, you're going to see how many realtors will no longer be realtors. Watch. They're already starting to give up their licenses now.
Yep.
Mortgage lenders, you're going to see how many mortgage lenders will no longer be lending out or becoming a lender to lend out money to prospective buyers because the revenue is not going to be as rampant. Only the elite, only the ones with the relationships are going to survive. A lot of you fly-by-night contractors won't be around here either. It's due to the relationships that you create because you crooked contractors that were robbing people these last 4 years, you killed your reputation. People remember that. So now when the market changes and now the investor or the qualified buyer can handpick who they choose to do business with, they won't be choosing you.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. So one thing
wait.
Oh, go ahead.
For your crop.
Oh, yeah.
You heard what he said, right? He said he agrees with me. It's not me saying it. Anybody that's respected in this business, like yourself and a bunch of other people, we all speak in the same thing. I just happen to be the one that's willing to say it openly.
Yeah, we can end it there, but we're not. So one thing you mentioned a lot is the deal. So can you walk through the process of how you look for deals? What are some of the numbers that you're looking at? Because I'm sure you experienced a lot. People always ask about it, but they don't know how to really analyze properties and things like that. So what's your process for doing that?
Well, once you understand the art of analyzing a deal, you off to the races. Everything else is easy. Finding the money is easy. Getting contractors is easy. Realtors that work for you is easy. It's the deal that's the number one. Sorry, I shouldn't say the number one. The number one aspect of the deal is you.
Yeah,
that's the number one. The most important person in the equation of a real estate transaction is you. Stop letting these people fool you. Stop letting these people make you feel like they're doing you a favor. There's more of them than you. You're the unicorn in the situation. So the number one most important aspect of a real estate transaction is the investor / and or qualified buyer. Do you agree with me or not?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the deal can't happen without the person buying.
I hope that you guys could put a bomb on what my brother just said or a highlight on what he just said, because nothing moves or shakes without you. My goal is to empower you all. A lot of people in the industry don't like me because I tell you guys too much. They've pulled me to the side and told me, well, but you telling the people too much.
Really?
Oh, yeah, multiple times. Got conversations between us, y'all. Don't worry. I ain't going to tell y'all who it is. Right? Nothing happens without us. That's number one. Number two, it's all about the deal. I tell people all the time, because you have a lot of fancy ways of investing, which is beautiful. Mm-hmm. You have people that wholesale. You have people that do what you call that again? Subject twos. You got mm-hmm. people that buy at auction. You got people that flip. You got people that wholesale. I said wholesale. You got people that buy and hold. You got people that buy properties at tax liens and et cetera, et cetera. I tell people, I do not care. The source of where you're finding your properties is irrelevant, because all of those sources I just finished describing, I could introduce you to a person that bought a horrible deal. So the source of where you're finding your properties is irrelevant. The number one thing that you have to understand is, what is your long-term goal with said property? Whatever it is, it really doesn't matter to me. So that's why with the mentees I have all over the country, they always come in with these different, you know, beautiful names of, oh, I'm going to be doing this, or I'm going to be doing that. I don't care, because the fundamentals are the same. So what I do tell everybody, this is very important. The entire business of investing in real estate is a flip. Everything about real estate is a flip. So can I break it down to you?
Break it down.
Okay. There's three major entry points that people talk about in real estate. Mm-hmm. Number one, everybody talk about is wholesaling. What does a wholesaler do? A wholesaler gets a property under contract at the right price point to ultimately flip that contract to an end buyer, somebody like me. You agree?
Yep.
Okay. What's the next one that people talk about? Flippers. What does a flipper do? A flipper gets a property under contract at the right price point to renovate that property, to put that property back on the market, to ultimately flip that property to an end buyer. You agree with me or not?
Yep.
Okay. Number three is buy and hold. What does a buy and holder do? A buy and holder gets a property under contract at the right price point, renovates that property, rents that property to ultimately flip that current mortgage into a long-term mortgage for passive income. Do you agree with me or not?
Got it.
The entire business of investing in real estate is a flip. If you notice, the common denominator of everything I just described was what?
Right price.
Thank you very much. You make your money on the buy. When you start understanding that, you don't start overwhelming yourself with the different things of, do I subject to, do I wholesale, do I flip, do I auction? It really doesn't matter. Because once you understand that, it don't matter what is presented to you. Hey, I got this property under contract from an auction site. The process is still going to be the same. How much is the property valued at when it's done? How much did you acquire it to what it's going to cost you to rehab it? To do what with it? Flip it to sell so you can profit? What's your profit margin that you're looking for at a minimum? Okay, you're not going to flip it. You want to buy and hold and keep that property. Cool. How many properties, when you bought that property, how many units was it? Was it a singles, a duplex, quad, a building? How much did you acquire that property for in relation to what it's going to cost you to rehab it if you need it? So in relation to, by the time you finish adding up all your expenses, mortgage, taxes, insurance, what are you left with as a profit? When you understand that, all the other hoopla don't matter.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yep. Makes a lot of sense. So if I'm somebody new, I'm watching this, I'm like, oh, you know, well, he's talking about some good stuff. Let me get on Zillow. Let's say this person wants duplexes. So they're looking on Zillow for duplexes and they see some for 80, they see some for 120. What would you say to them to figure out, is this the right price for this property, or how would they figure out the right price for a property?
Well, here's the thing. Especially newbies, mm-hmm. you're trying to do too much on your own. Mm-hmm. What did we just agree on is the number one component to a real estate transaction?
You.
You're the number one. Everybody in this industry works for you. everybody in this industry works for you. So you know what I tell everybody to do? Put those people to work. So the question that's asked is, when I go on Zillow, how do I know if it is or isn't? I don't know. I don't know that market.
Yeah.
So this is why I tell people. I know it's sexy to start investing out of state. I know it's sexy to fly and leave this the greatest country on this planet to go and start investing in other areas and other countries. If you have minimal to no experience, you have no business catching the flight to start investing in real estate. Stop being lazy. Real estate investing, even though we use the word passive, there's no such thing as passive in real estate. You got to work. So before I would ever just go on Zillow randomly and just pull up because Zillow gives me a price point of a property and just take it at face value, I'm going to put my homework to the environment I'm looking to invest in.
Yeah.
So this is why I don't encourage people when you first starting out to start investing out of state where you catching a flight.
Yeah.
I didn't say don't invest out of state. I invest out of state. But my distance of investing out of state is an hour, 15-minute drive from door to door.
Right.
You understand? So you have no business starting out that way. What you need to do is do your recon work in the environment that you're choosing to invest in. You need to start building up your team. I'm going to give you guys some sauce. I call it the starting five. I'm the one that coined the phrase. So if you hear anybody coining the same phrase, I'm just telling y'all, y'all know they stole it from me. Y'all hear me, right? You have to build your starting five. These five people are the most important people on your team. The most important people on your team. Number one is your funding source. What's your funding source? Your funding source could be your hard money lender, your private money lender, a regular conventional bank, your employment, your 401k. Maybe you out here hustling. I don't know. Maybe you robbed the bank. Maybe you hit the lottery. You got your funding source. That's number one. What does your funding source do? Your funding source starts to give direction to the rest of the people on your team. Who's number two? Number two is going to be your realtor. What did the funding source do for you for your realtor? Can you tell me?
Say it again.
What did your funding source do for you for your realtor? What did they do?
Give them food on the table if they close a deal.
Your funding source gave you directive to give to your realtor.
Yeah.
By what? Your proof of funds.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yep.
So your funding source validated how much you are fundable for, which then gives you direction to direct your realtor. Your realtor is the one that's the boots on the ground that's going to do the work for you. You understand?
Yep.
They're going to be the ones that's going to identify based off of what you are capable of funding so that you're not wasting your time. What's number three is your contractor. Don't ask me how to hit a hammer. Don't ask me to splice any wiring or plumbing because I'm going to burn the property down. I know nothing about how to do that. I don't need to know how to do it. The people that work for me does. Let them do the work. So from the realtor's my contractor. My contractor is going to be the person that's going to validate to me the quality of property and what's needed to do to the property to make it what I'm ultimately looking for it to be. The ugly duckling to something beautiful.
Yep.
What's number four on your team is your attorney. What's your attorney going to do for you? Your attorney's going to protect you. Your attorney's going to make sure all your T's and all your T's are crossed and all your I's are dotted. Going to fine tune and go through your contract and make sure that you, the attorney's client, is protected. Right?
Yep.
Going to make sure that the title is clear. And if it's not clear, make sure you understand why it's not clear, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And say to you, do you want to proceed or not? They educated you. Am I right or wrong?
That's a fact.
And your last member on your team is your accountant. What's your accountant going to do for you? Check out all the numbers. Make sure Uncle Sam, your biggest debtor, gets his cut, minimizes what you owe. Make sure that you pay what you have to pay and let you know come the end of the year, are you winning or not? Those are the five most important people on your team. Everything else is an extension of those people. When you understand how to utilize those people, you understand how to pimp those people. I teach the people the game on how to do that. You let them do the work for you. So that's what I would tell somebody is, start building out your team. Start educating yourself because everything starts with you first. Because you got to be the one to be able to delegate these people. From delegating these people, make them do the work for you. And if they don't, you fire them.
Yeah. With as far as contractors, you know, everybody has had a bad story with a contractor. Do you have any insight you can share on maybe ways to, or maybe red flags or what to avoid when looking at contractors? Because a lot of people, I mean, it boils down to education, but a lot of people just have bad contractors.
Here's the thing, here's what I've experienced about contractors. Mm-hmm. Mostly every contractor could do the job.
Yeah.
Mostly every contractor could do the job with great quality. The problem is contractors are going to get pissed off with me. Most of them are broke. Most contractors are only as good as the last contract that they are working on, and they need the next one, which is why a contractor will sign a contract with you, sign a contract with him, sign a contract with the next person, because they need that revenue coming in to survive. They're using your money to maintain paying the next this guy's project. That money needs to maintain to pay that guy's contract, which is why timelines that they give you, most of the time, they never commit it. When you understand how to control the money, you control your contractor. Contractors are going to be pissed off with me. They're going to talk on the comment section and say, yo, nobody controls me with money. Contractors, when the client understands how to control the money, they control you. I tell people all the time, we're not here to do bad business. You cannot find a contractor. So for you contractors are going to throw shots at me, find me one contractor that said that I never paid them. Find me one contract that said that I was never a man of my word. You can't. You can't. So we're not here to be scumbags.
Yeah.
I need you. I need your help, contractor, because I would like to finish this project to put it on the market because I got a whole bunch of money tied into it. What happens is now a contractor will make or break you. You're on a timeline. You're on a time crunch. So when you understand the art of controlling the money, I teach you guys the game on how to do that too. Everything I tell y'all is what I do every day. Yep. Once you understand the art of how to control the money, you control the contract. What I do tell everybody is make sure you treat the contractor right. If you got a good contractor that's doing right by you and you can see that this person is riding for you, make sure you take care of them. Even bless them a little bit with a little bit more money because you're going to do it again, right? So now with contractors, I said that every contractor pretty much could do the work. This is the reason why you'll notice I tell people a reference is not a guarantee.
Yeah.
So people think that because I referred you to a contractor, that means it guarantees you the end result's going to be the same as what I got. No. So stop getting upset with somebody when they refer to you to work with a mortgage lender or to work with a contractor, because that's not a guarantee. They're going to try you. What's guaranteed is what you're going to do and how do you handle it. You understand? Yep. So that's why with me, I can get my contractors to work for me. Matter of fact, one of my contractors, I just introduced him to working with someone else recently, and that same person contacted me not yelling at me, but was upset with me because he just finished getting robbed by the contractor. The same contractor I referred him to.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
He won't do that to me, though. He's not going to do that to me, though, because I controlled the money.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So that's the thing. There's multiple layers of the process of mm-hmm. that. I don't want to just say, hey, do this or do that, because a lot of people will just hear surface level information and then run with it and then they mess it all up.
Yeah.
But there's multiple layers that I show people on what you do to protect yourself, to protect yourself, to minimize losses and to maximize your time frame of getting your stuff done.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So I know you do some flipping, you do some buy and hold. How do you determine what property you're going to flip versus what property you're going to rehab and then keep?
Well, here's the thing. what I say, I love this country because there's opportunities everywhere. Mm-hmm. So everywhere is a good place to buy, as long as you buy right. Now, what's beautiful is that how I might approach one market doesn't mean it's the exact same way I'm going to approach another market, but the fundamentals remain the same. So now in my market, I live in New York. I was born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens, but I currently live in Long Island. But my real estate portfolio is predominantly in Connecticut. Connecticut, from my house to the first door of my property that I would stop to, is an hour and 15 minutes away. So yes, I invest out of state, but it's in my backyard, right?
Yep.
Okay. In my market, what I discovered is if I'm acquiring a single family home, I'm flipping it.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep a single family home as a rental. For me, it doesn't make sense. Now, there's markets in America where they do not have the opportunity for multifamilies, where it's predominantly single families. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You adapt to the market that you live in, or you adapt to the market that is given to you, or you find one elsewhere that's more in line with what you want. Yeah. So I understood, for me, if it's a single family home, I'm flipping it. If it's a two family home, I'm flipping it. I'm buying it, fixing it, and I'm selling it. So now, reason why I flipped houses is because I was financially destroyed.
Yeah.
Remember, I've been in the business 21 years, but my first 13 years, from 2003 to roughly around 2013, 14, roughly, yeah. 14, give or take, it was dismal for me. I got wiped out in this real estate business three times. Three times, everybody, I got wiped out to zero. One of the things that I realized is that you need money to invest in real estate. Everybody can say you don't need money to invest in real estate. That's all cap. You need money to invest in real estate. The art is, it doesn't mean the money has to come from you. The money got to come somewhere.
Yeah.
Whichever way it is, credit cards, taking over a current mortgage, whatever it is, that's money transferring from one to another. So you need money to invest in real estate. I didn't have it.
Yeah.
I'm not that smart. I might look like I am. I'm not that smart. How do I generate the money? What do I do to generate the money? From my 13, 14 years of being destroyed, when I finally dived back in, I said, I'm going to, first off, stop cutting corners. Stop rushing the process. The number one reason why I was continually failing was because of me. Even though I was upset with what was being done to me by the parties in this business, the lenders, the contractors, the realtors, et cetera, the common denominator in the entire equation was me. And I kept continually cutting corners. When I decided I'm no longer going to cut corners and I'm going to stay the course, that's when things started changing for me. When I understood I needed money, I wasn't that creative. I'm still not that creative, like I see a lot of other people are. I'm intrigued by what I see a lot of other people do, and I want to learn from them.
Yeah.
But what did I decide to do? Hey, Welby, man, you got no money. You're gonna have to. I'm gonna start flipping houses so I could build up my capital. Yeah. I'm gonna build up my capital. So then I understood that my back was against the wall. I was tired of living like that. I didn't want to live like that anymore. So I said, I'm going to start flipping houses. When I started flipping houses, initially when I was flipping houses, I was just excited to start building up my money. I wasn't thinking long term. Yeah. I was thinking, let me be able to breathe a little bit. When I started flipping houses, I was doing two or three houses, let's say a year. And as I started tightening up my process, I got to the peak of me doing 20 to 30 houses a year. So at that point, financially, I was good.
Yeah.
As far as money's in the bank, I'm not living hand to mouth. I started understanding that when I would hear it from a lot of people I respect in this business, a lot of the elders I respect in this business, that the game is passive income. Because you're only as good as what you do last in a flip. If you don't have no more flips, you're done. If you don't find a way to generate money without it requiring your physical involvement to a degree, you're not going to survive. By that point, I had already amassed over seven figures of liquid money that I saved up.
Wow.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to start buying me some multifamilies. So my business model is very simple. I flip for the purpose of utilizing the income that I produced to buy me income-producing properties. So I flip properties, I amassed X amount of money. And then now I said, since I got this amount of money now I can go out there and start buying them up like candy. But I'm going to be strategic on it, and I'm going to be intentional on it. And that's the strategy that I used pretty much, that I used to be where I'm at today. So now, if I don't flip as much, money's still coming in. You're not going to be able to flip as often with today's market because of what we talked about moments ago, but the money's still coming in because of the passive income. Okay. When the market shifts again, where the opportunity comes for me to increase my flipping again, guess what? I'm going to start flipping that much more heavier again. So I want to have as many skill sets as possible that I can continue adapting to the way the market changes.
Definitely. That makes a lot of sense. I know that some of your properties, you have like Section 8 and different programs. And a lot of people don't like using Section 8 in the programs for different reasons. Why does it work for you?
No, well, here's the thing. I would say maybe 60% of my properties now are on housing programs. Maybe. But let me tell you something. Section 8 is not guaranteed, everybody. You hear people constantly bring up about Section 8. You even hear people that are just getting started. Oh, I don't want to play around with tenants. I want to get me Section 8 tenants. Listen, Section 8 is not guaranteed. Let's kill that myth. Section 8 income is not guaranteed. You got to work for that. Not only you got to work for that, the average rental payments that Section 8 pays throughout the country is approximately 15 to even 20% less than market rates. Most people don't talk about that either. What other people don't talk about with Section 8 is that with Section 8, their criteria or their rules for your apartment to be acceptable for rent, you have to maintain that property. And if the property is not maintained, even if it's due to the negligence of the tenant, you don't get paid. They don't talk about that. So people just simply want to believe that all you got to do is get an apartment and put a Section 8 tenant in it and you off to the races. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. Okay, so now as far as Section 8, I don't mind it. Mm-hmm. I don't mind it. But I want what I want for my rent.
Yeah.
That could be between the lines, however way y'all want. I want what I want for my rent. And then I also have relationships with Section 8, the social workers, and I have also, Section 8 is not the only player in town. There's a whole bunch of other programs, housing programs as well. It's just that Section 8 is the one that's predominantly known. But so I house other people in other housing programs in my area as well. Mm-hmm. But it's not just the end all be all for me that it has to be Section 8. Yeah. I just want good tenants. I want good tenants and I try to vet them as good as possible so I can minimize turnover.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What are a couple of things you look for when you're trying to find the right tenant?
Can I give you all the 7 questions that I ask?
Oh yeah, of course.
I'm prepared, right?
Yeah, you're very, very prepared, man. I love this, man. Because people always ask about this.
These are the 7 questions. The 7 questions. Damn, I'm giving them too much, bro.
Y'all better be paying attention, man.
Right? These are the 7 questions that myself or my team asks anybody that reaches out to rent out any of my properties, irregardless if it's a housing program or if it's a cash paying tenant. Number 1, what housing program do you have if you have one? So you don't have to have a housing program to rent for me, but if you do, which one are you with? Because that I know their rental criterias, and then I also have the relationships with the social workers that I can actually call up and ask them, hey, I have this person that just contacted me. What do you think about that person? Or that's a whole other game that I give people on how you utilize the social workers to do the work for you too. That's that. But that's number 1. Number 2, I ask them is how many bedrooms are they looking for? My apartments, minimum I need is a 2-bedroom, but I have some apartments with as much as 4 bedrooms. So they let me know how many bedrooms that they're looking for. Based off of that, the rents are different, obviously, right? Number 3, how many adults and children? Reason why is that, based off of the amount of bedrooms and the potential square footage of the property, based off of how many people they're saying is going to live there, it gives me the option of being able to decide, do I want that many people? Because why would I, for a three-bedroom, rent out to people that is a family of eight, let's just say, mm-hmm. when I could rent out the same apartment to a family of five?
Yeah.
Right? Less wear and tear, right? Number four, very important. Have you been evicted in the last 5 years? If you've been evicted in the last 5 years, don't even bother wasting your time. And you might as well tell me the truth because we're going to do a background check on you, right? Number five, the monthly household income that all of the adults combined generate. I normally require at least a 2.5 to 3 times the rent that I want when you add it up amongst mm-hmm. all of the adults. Number six, are you going to be able to pass a background check? A lot of the times, if these people don't respond to that, it's because it won't be people that you would want to rent to.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to filter out a lot of the people. And the last question that I do ask is, do you have any pets? And when I do ask, do you have any pets? People are going to get pissed off with me. You people with your ESA, what is that? Emotional support animal letters. Chill out with that. Landlords are hip to that. Landlords are hip to that. So I asked them, do they have any pets? And then based off of their response, I see how I proceed.
Yeah.
You understand? So doing those seven questions is what I developed over the years, because this is what helps you to weed through a lot of the potential tenants without you ever conversing with them.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? And then it helps you to stop wasting time conversing. If they answer the questions pretty much to the satisfaction of what I direct my team with, then we go to the next step of asking for their name and their number, maybe have a follow-up conversation with them, and then set up for them to view the apartment, and then do the background check and verify income and other things of that nature. And then if everything checks out, you know, they can move into the apartment.
Definitely. That's hope y'all paying attention. That's good game right there. So I noticed that you do some conversions. So like you'll add bedrooms and you'll make apartments a little bit larger. And of course, this helps you to charge more rent. But what made you want to do that? Because it's something that seems like you do pretty regularly.
So now in my neighborhood, and I would say most of this country, most properties, we don't have the benefit of states like, let's say, Atlanta mm-hmm. or the Carolinas or Texas, where we have a vast amount of land. So I know, you know, people a lot of the times like to talk about new builds and stuff like that. Cool. I'm happy for you. We don't get that opportunity out here like that.
Yeah.
So most of the properties that we have are existing properties that are refurbished. A lot of my buildings that I own were built in the early 1910s, 1920s. If you remember, growing up, a lot of the style was everything was compartmentalized.
Mm-hmm.
The living room and the living room had a wall partition up. The dining room had a wall partition up. All the bedrooms had a, so everything was compartmentalized. So imagine now a lot of these properties I'm acquiring, that's how I'm buying them.
Yeah.
So when I'm buying them, they are a bunch of walls compartmentalized in a bunch of different sections in the apartment, but it's listed as a two bedroom, right?
Yeah.
Most landlords got the attitude of, I don't care, I'm not going to be the one living here. And they'll do the bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And then they expect the maximum in rent. I got a different attitude. I want to produce a beautiful product, but ask top dollar, right? So what I always try to do is do a blank canvas. Given the fact that I know that this two-bedroom apartment is compartmentalized, am I saying it right? Inefficiently,
mm-hmm.
right? The flow was horrible. I knocked the walls down.
Yeah.
Now that I get the walls knocked down, I got a blank canvas. I just did that recently with an apartment only 3 weeks ago. The new tenants moved in yesterday. It's a two-bedroom apartment that was being rented for $1,000. $1,050 to be exact, a two-bedroom apartment. My two-bedroom apartments in the area that I'm in normally rents for approximately $1,500 fully renovated. I already recognize, because I own a bunch of multifamilies in the area with the same layout, I can get a four-bedroom out of this. I can get a four-bedroom out of this, and I'm not talking about with small bedrooms, beautifully flowed. I'll show you the video. Beautifully flowed four-bedroom. I was able to get that done. So I was able to convert an apartment that was originally a two-bedroom that would be rented at best if I left it as is to a $1,500 a month. I was able to convert it legally, proper egress, closets, size, etc., to a four-bedroom, and I just got the place rented out for $2,050.
You doubled it.
I more than doubled it.
Yeah.
I more than doubled it. So then now we could talk whenever you want about numbers and about cash flow. When people are hearing the type of cash flow I'm generating, it's because of strategic moves of what I just finished describing to you. So with that, I was able to increase the current cash flow of the property that was positive to almost 2.5 what I was already generating. I was able to do it just by me doing what I just described to you.
I love that. I know, speaking of cash flow, obviously the big headline people lead with is their doors, right? You are more of a net cash flow guy. That's what you focus on, which I think is a good thing because people could have a lot of doors and making like $100 a door. What's the point?
Could you say that again, please?
People could have like 100 doors, 150 doors, which is a good headline, right? And it might get you interested in whatever they have going on. But if they're making like $100 or $150 a door and they have a bunch of duplexes, what's the point? You could have a lot fewer properties, but a higher net income.
If you notice with me, I never talk about my doors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never talk about the doors because it's not the doors. It's the quality of the doors we need to be talking about. So I used to lead with saying that I wanted 5,000 doors.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What do you expect out of those 5,000 doors? I couldn't explain it. I just love the headline, as you said. I got 5,000 doors. And then when I started building up my portfolio with that attitude, I was like, wait a minute, I got all of these doors, but I'm not making no money. I'm not making no money. That's why I don't talk about doors. I talk about net. I talk about how much is being put in your pocket. So that's why I tell people it's not about the quantity. It's about the quality. How much money are you putting in your pocket? So many people that I know personally that owns a bunch of doors are making no money. Not only are they making no money, they're over-leveraged. So that's why I tell people you need to be extremely careful with what you're doing, and especially in the direction that this market is going, you have no room for major error.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's a fact. And, you know, I think people hear about like the Burr method and all this stuff, but to your point, nobody thinks about the over-leveraging part. Like, people pull out all the cash and you can end up in a bad situation very quickly.
It happened to me.
By moving too fast, yeah.
It happened to me. So that's why I say to the people, I know people, man.
Go ahead.
The Burr strategy is overrated. The Burr strategy is overrated, and the majority of people that are utilizing the Burr strategy should not be doing it. Now, I know I said it's overrated. Is it a beautiful strategy? Absolutely. I've done it. There's a lot of people that I know that does it, and they do it exceptionally well. The majority of you guys should not be doing it. Because what they don't realize is utilizing that strategy, what they're hyped up about is that they were able to buy that property, fix up that property, rehab that property, refinance out, that they were able to pull their equity out of that property. So they were able to pull out what it cost them to acquire it, even though you got a mortgage on it. Mm-hmm. They were able to pull out what it cost them to fix it, to buy it, excuse me. Also, they were able to pull out their rehab costs and then some money for their pocket. So they're ecstatic now. They're ecstatic that they were able to do all of those things, and then they put $80,000 in the bank. They think that they made money. How did you make money? You didn't make any money because you are indebted to that $80,000. Now, what the game plan is you got to take that $80,000 and buy yourself the next property.
Yeah.
You already maxed out what's in that current property. When you ask people to break down their cash flow for what their debt is, I'm like, you crazy. You're barely making any money. Your debt is crazy. You're over-leveraged, but you're saying, yeah, but I got $80,000 back. Yeah, exactly. You got $80,000 back. Now you're going to take that $80,000 to buy your next property and follow the same game plan. what you just finished displaying is now you got two properties over leveraged, barely making any money. Some people I've seen have followed that exact model to 2, 5, 10 properties, and all of them are over leveraged. They got the money back. Yeah, I got you. You got the cash in your hand. I got you. All it takes is one of those properties. God forbid two of them starts underperforming. You lose everything. That's why I say you got to be very careful.
Yeah.
I'm not against the burst strategy, everybody. I do the burst strategy. But the majority of the people that are doing the burst strategy have no business doing it because you're setting yourself up and you're getting yourself in trouble.
Yeah. Do you think it's safer for people who are doing the burst strategies to try to leave a little more equity than like 20% in the deal just to be safe? Or does it depend?
You see, you see how when you're having logical conversations, how a logical response comes?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. My thing is with me, I don't cash out on my properties.
Mm-hmm.
I let the properties work for me. I don't cash out on my properties, everybody. I let the property work for me. So I've done the burst strategy. I could give you multiple examples of properties that I own and how I've done it. And how ultimately the money that I would have been able to cash out, the cash flow, generated it for me in a year or two. So I got the money anyways.
Yeah.
Without the debt. Without the debt. And then the equity is still in the property. So then since I got the equity in the property, then I tap into the equity without doing a refi.
Yeah.
So then I have access to the capital in the property when I need it, but I'm not paying for it unless I use it. It took me a minute to understand that, yo.
Yeah.
Took me a minute to understand that. And over-leveraging is going to be the death of a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So let's talk about this whole grandma's house concept. A lot of people think you should never sell a family home. As a matter of fact, I was talking to somebody recently and she was saying, yeah, you know, I tell people, if you buy something, like, don't ever sell. Like, if your parents pass on, don't ever sell. What's your thoughts on that?
I think that information it could be a detriment to people because it plays a guilt. It plays on someone's emotions and their guilt. So grandma passes away and grandma left you a home. So you kept the property. What is the property doing for you and the family that's benefiting the property other than it being a structure and a roof over your head? If it's simply being a roof over your head and you're okay with that and you're fine with your business that you have or your employment and you're living there, great. Love it. But that's not what people are doing. People are being told don't sell grandma's house because you need to use grandma's house for legacy and for generational wealth creation, et cetera, et cetera. But these people lack the knowledge of being able to know how to do that. Then, of course, the guilt aspect of it, that grandma worked all her life and you just gonna sell grandma's house? I was telling you, right? I'm first generation Haitian American. My parents came from Haiti. My parents weren't wealthy. My parents came to this country and then they came and got the American dream and was able to buy their home. Their home that they have is their mansion. That's why houses are relative to people.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's a mansion. I got family members from Haiti that come over, that come here periodically, and they come to a regular house that my parents own and their eyes are blazing that they can't believe that you live here. Right? What happens is now my parents did their job.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us the best opportunity that they could have. They had us in this country. We never went hungry. And my parents, that their house is ultimately our house. My parents, I would like to think they expect us to take this to the next level. I pray that my parents live another 100 years. At the end of the day, we all gonna pass away. Mom and dad pass away 100 years from now and I'm still here. That house is out of here. Me and my brothers all talked about it. That property is out of here. Because you know what I could do with that money? I'm not taking that money so I could go buy me a new Mercedes Benz. I'm not taking that money so I could splurge and post on the gram like I made some money. I'm going to take that money and level it up.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that money and buy me 5 more properties with that same money. You think mom and dad won't be proud of me? You think mom and dad won't be proud of me? So that's why, you know, with gentrification, what they've been doing is they've been convincing us that gentrification is a black or white thing. It's not. Gentrification is for the haves or the have-nots. That's what gentrification is. I was walking through Brooklyn, right? This neighborhood, you couldn't walk through here 20 years ago. Now you're seeing Caucasian people with their dogs in a baby carriage, right? Yeah. Walking up and down, right? And then our people are being upset. And they're saying they're pushing us out. No, they're not pushing us out. The opportunity to acquire the property was given to us all. What have you done to set yourself up and prep yourself to be able to buy it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I go back for grandma's house. Do something with grandma's house. If you are okay with just keeping grandma's house and just living there and maintaining the taxes and you're okay and you're satisfied and you're happy with that, good for you. But if you're talking about taking this to the next level, man, stop holding on to it for sentimental reasons, man. Stop doing that, man, and do something with it.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. And it's interesting the point you made about gentrification. Like, I agree it's the haves and the haves not, haves and the have nots. Cause it's about who owns it. Like, whoever owns controls the neighborhood, whatever color you are, really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so the solution is to own more, buy more. And that may not, maybe you can't do that in Brooklyn, but
You could do it somewhere.
There's plenty of places in New York. If you want to be in New York or the tri-state, like, you could do it somewhere. Even if you can't do it where you grew up at, even if that feels terrible to you, there's somewhere you could do it.
You gotta that's the reason why I got priced out of New York. Mm-hmm. Because remember, I talk about all of the failures that I had. So by the time I started figuring things out, I got priced out.
Yeah.
So that's why I had to go elsewhere, which is why I encourage everybody. We're in America. There's a place there for you that you can invest. But you got to be willing to do the sacrifice to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Here's the most amazing thing. I'm back in New York investing now. You know what I did? I got my weight up. Got my money up. I have an opportunity. Well, I'm closing on it next week. God willing, I should be closing on it next week or the following week. But very, very soon, a property in Queens, New York. What's it called again? Not St. Albans, Queens Village.
Mm-hmm.
The property's worth $900,000. I'm getting it for $460,000. See how your eyes popped out, right?
Wow.
and I'm paying cash for it.
Wow.
Out of my own pocket. Right? Ask me 7-8 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Yeah.
I had to humble myself and say, you know what, Welby, I can't play with these people out here. Let me go find a place so I could. I'm not coming back as heavy as I am in Connecticut because I built myself a nice portfolio out there, but I've generated enough money that I could come back. Not only am I going to be closing on that one, I just got presented with the same attorney, another property in St. Albans, Queens. Numbers about the same. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to retreat to fight another day. So that's what I did.
I love that. Are those going to be flips?
Oh, those are going to be definitely flips. I'm definitely flipping. And then guess what? Here's the beautiful thing about having options. If I decide to take on the project and renovate it, which will cost me, let's say, $120,000 tops, I'll sell it for $875,000, $900,000, probably more because the rates are coming down. That's why I told you.
Yeah.
Look at how this conversation comes back full circle.
Yep.
Because the interest rates are dropping now. People are pent up.
Yep.
So that property is going to sell very easy. So I got two options. Either I'm going to fully renovate it, which so then that means I'll be into it for, let's say, 5.5, not even that much. And I'll sell it for $9,875 and clear almost $3,000. Right?
Yeah.
Or I could say, F it. I got it for $460. I'm going to do a handyman special. I'm putting it on the market for $675. Somebody going to take it off my hands anyways, and I'm going to clear $180,000 to $200,000. I already got it in my mind what I'm going to do with the money.
Yeah.
I already know. I'm not going to go running. I got plenty of cars. I've done plenty of trips. Oh, yo, you know what? This $180,000, $200,000 I'm going to have, I got to try and buy me 2 or 3 rental properties. And I'm going to follow the process of what I've done over and over and over again with the rentals that I own. And I'll be able to generate that money for the rest of my life off of that, from that $180,000.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, man. I think I think the best thing about this interview is just, one, the consistency, the tenacity, but just sticking to your principles that you've developed over the years. And, you know, a lot of people get shiny object syndrome. They think every, I mean, like you said, there's so many great strategies, but you're sticking to what is working for you. And I think people will get a lot further if they found their lane and just, if it's working, continue to work it and not get pulled and distracted by all these different strategies. So
I just wish people would understand that real estate investing is not rocket science, but it's not as easy as people would like to lead you to believe.
Yeah.
There's a lot more dark days than bright lights.
Yeah.
It's just the truth. The majority of the properties that you're going to go for, the majority of the properties you're going to put offers on, you are not going to get them. That's just the fact of the business. You decide to be a landlord, you are going to have tenants that are not going to pay you rent or they're going to mess up your property. That's just the nature of the business. The reward is the follow through. The reward is sticking to it. The reward is the lifestyle, which is a reward for the work that you've done. I'm lost my train of thought, but it's worth it. That's why I want to stress with people. It's worth it. So, you know, the funny thing that I get, I got that video that had went viral. It's starting to pick up again, where I had that tenant that didn't pay me rent for 2 years. It's starting to pick up back up again. And it kills me the comments that people make. And the majority of those people that make the comments own no real estate.
That's usually how it goes.
Right? And then they'll make comments of, hey, champ, you need to think about getting into another business because you had a tenant living in your house for 2 years. Everybody, that's the nature of the business. What you should be asking me is, how the hell you survive that? That's what you should be asking me. Not only I survived it, I thrived through it, in it, after it. That's what you should be asking me. Because I used to walk into the game blindly like that, that all I got to do is buy real estate, put a tenant in it, and I'm going to win. I used to believe that because the mortgage lending company told me you are approved for this loan, that meant it was affordable. Right? I thought that because a contractor walked into my home with a license, they worked with integrity. I thought that a realtor who's licensed and says that they are experienced in handling an investor, that they all understood the concept, they don't. How did you go through that? Just through the experiences, man. So it's worth it. And I tell everybody it's worth it, but just understand that you're going to have a lot more dark days than bright lights in this business, but it's worth it.
Definitely, definitely. Man, that's a way to end it, man. No, I appreciate you coming down and doing the interview. And I think this is what people need to hear going into 2024. I know for you, 2024 is the year of authenticity, and this is a great way to kick that off.
Listen, that's important, bro.
Yeah.
Your favorite will not be around next year. Your favorite will not be around next year. 2024, I'm telling you, is going to be the year of authenticity. The people have had enough. If I'm wrong, people, tell me in the comment section I'm wrong. They've had enough of the eating in their face. They've had enough of the bragging. They've had enough of the lifestyle marketing. They've had enough of being robbed. They've had enough of it. The people that were overnight successes in the last 2 to 3 years, the majority of them are quiet now. What happened? What happened? So line yourself up with solid men and women. People with a real track record that were doing this and being successful in the business that you want to be involved in. Not in the course that you paid them for. You want to be with somebody that made their money, that created the lifestyle, that has a road behind them from the business that you want to be investing in. I made my money in real estate. The byproduct of everything else from my online courses, my mentorships, is because of real estate.
Yeah.
Right? This all goes tomorrow. Check me out in my properties. Check me out with my tenants. This could all go tomorrow. My real estate's going to keep moving forward. So just make sure you do your due diligence, man. We don't got no room for major errors in this new year. We don't got no room for it. We don't got no room for it, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm excited, bro. I'm excited. I'm super excited about it, man. And I hope that the people are excited too. And if I may.
Of course.
A lot of people always ask me, how do I get started investing in real estate? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? So I tell everybody, I got the perfect thing for you. I got the real estate kickstart. The real estate kickstart is essentially my life. Anything I ever share with you all, I talk about with you all, I share with my brother Sam over here is what I do every single day. This is nothing fiction over here. It's my life. So what I put together is a program called the Real Estate Kickstart. And basically what I do is give you guys step-by-step overview of how I built up my real estate portfolio. The art of the proper mindset, building up your team, to why is it that I flip properties? Because remember, everything involving real estate is a flip. And then how I utilize those proceeds to then start investing and building a passive income producing real estate portfolio. I got the next class going to be dropping sometime in February. Sign-ups happen quick. You know what I'm saying? It's a two-week class. It's exciting. I want you guys to be a part of my community, be a part of my team. And if you're looking for somebody that truly cares about seeing you win, not just me winning by myself, seeing you win, if you want to have somebody that's going to hold you accountable, that's going to keep that fire on you, nobody comes better than over here. So definitely come on my website, www.atmybest197.com. Or hopefully Sam will put this on the link down here. You could get my ebook. You could check out when I'm going to be dropping the Kickstart course. And come on in, man. It's going to be a good time, man. So
definitely drop your social too.
Oh, my social is atmybest197 on all platforms. So that's Apple, Thomas, M as in Mary, Y, B as in boy, EST197. And you could go on my website, the same with the same name, atmybest197.com. And I'm on all the other platforms the same way too.
Definitely. Yeah, make sure to have all that on the links. But bro, appreciate you coming on again, man. This is a great
thank
conversation.
You, man. It was an honor. And it's really refreshing to talking to like-minded people.
Yeah.
And not only like-minded people, somebody that truly has great intentions.
Appreciate that.
You know, behind the scenes when we talk, what the people don't get to see is the type of conversation that we have, and it's always led with integrity. Always.
Appreciate
it's that. Never any conversation of trying to find out a way to manipulate people out of their money. It's always with integrity, because the money comes anyways, especially when you lead in with integrity. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
So I just want to tell you thank you for sharing your platform with me, and you know, I'm sure we'll do it again in the near future, you know?
Definitely, bro. Yeah. I appreciate it. And thank you everyone for listening to another episode. If you're on YouTube, make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel. If you're listening on audio, leave us a rating and review. Thank you all so much, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.